Okay, for today's meeting, I wanted to speak about matters relating to a person's table. A shulchanoy shel adam. Table in the dining room, the kitchen table. Now, before I begin, I want to warn you, a disclaimer. Everything that I tell you, don't take so seriously. I don't think that seriously. I don't do it. I can't preach what I don't practice. These are things which are new to me. A lot of these things I never knew until yesterday.
With the dangerous island, they take you seriously.
So, I personally don't do these things. I never heard of these things. They're new to me, and I don't see people doing these things. But
pick and choose.
But it made an impression on me. I have to tell you, some of the things I've seen here, they made an impression on me. And it's interesting. These are minhagim. These are ancient minhagim. There are those that had some these type of customs. They are very holy people. They mean things. We, obviously, as you'll see, we don't practice these things. But there's something to it. The first thing is a table. It appears that it used to be, by many very, very holy people, a very great hakpada, to always cover the table. Never to have a table without a tablecloth. We obviously, you know, we do this. We do this on Shabbos. It looks nice with a tablecloth. It's a yoifi. But even during the week, the only difference is there's a tablecloth. On Shabbos, there's a hakpada, a white tablecloth. And during the week, there's a color tablecloth. Why? Where does it come from, such a hakpada, that there always should be a tablecloth upon one's table? So it appears that a table, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel describes the mizbeach. It describes the dimensions of the mizbeach at the end, the very end of Yecheskel, all of the various parts of the Beis of the Bayis Shlishi, and it says the mizbeach shall be 3 amas tall. And after it says the dimensions, ze hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. This is the shulchan that is before Hashem. And from this pasuk, as we'll discuss in more detail, ze hashulchan lifnei Hashem, we learn every person's shulchan table is a holy object. Just like you have a Gemara, you have a Siddur, a Davar Shebekedusha, to a certain degree, a person's table is a Davar Shebekedusha. Upon a person's table, he does chesed, he invites guests, machnes arach, you bring a guest into your home, you give tzedakah, you learn Torah, you eat l'shem shemayim, you recite Birchas Hamazon, you daven. A table is an object with which you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Kedusha. Being that there's Kedusha, there's an inyan of tznius, very interesting idea, of anything which is holy has to be protected. Just like a Sefer Torah, you put in the Aron HaKodesh. You close the door, use a curtain. You don't just have the Sefer Torah exposed in the Beis HaKnesses. Why not? Come to the Beis HaKnesses, you should see the Sefer Torah exposed. This is the Torah. We expose the Svarim on the shelf, so why don't we expose the Sefer Torah when we come to the Beis HaKnesses? There's such a concept that a Dover Shebe Kedusha requires tznius. You protect it. It's concealed. It's private. It's an expression of holiness. The table is holy. To show the table is holy, it is to be covered at all times. Okay, now we don't do this. It's not our custom to cover the table at all times. We cover it only on Shabbos, if it's covered. But there is it's brought down that there are people that have every table in the home, not only the table that you eat on, even any table in the home always should be covered. And again, it comes from that pasuk of Ze Hashulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. Now, we once discussed very quickly. We once discussed salt. We had a whole. We discussed in detail the meaning of salt dipping bread in salt, and that's just to review. That's also why there is a custom to always have salt on the table, at least on Shabbos, because since the pasuk in Yecheskel says in reference to the mizbeach, it first calls it the mizbeach, and then says about the mizbeach Ze Hashulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem, and every single carbon requires salt. I'll call carbon chatakriv melach. So therefore, there's always an inyan that there should be salt on the table, even if you do not apply the salt to your food. We discussed this. We had another discussion Friday night. We said, davka you don't apply salt. This is a whole different discussion of when you add salt to your food, or not. But being that the shulchan represents the mizbech, and on the mizbech there's salt, so therefore there's inyan that on, at least on Shabbos when you're eating, to have salt on the table, even if you're not going to use the salt as part of the add the salt to the food. Right, we discuss it because you don't offer kabbalas on Friday night, right? So that was the whole discussion. Now, there's another hakpah that I think everyone knows this, that being that the table has sanctity, you're not supposed to sit on the table, you're not supposed to stand on the table, never. And there's a minig, at least in Yerushalayim, there's a very big hakpah, it's not clear where it comes from, they say it comes from the Sefer Hasidim, never to pass a child, a tinoik, from one person to another person over a table. That if you want to pass the baby from one to the next, you should never do it over the table from side to side. It comes from the Sefer HaChassidim that a table is davish abekdusha, and you have to be very careful. And there's once a mice, he brings a mice, and a person was not careful. He let his children jump on the table, and the child fell down and hurt himself. And from that, the Sefer HaChassidim, he wrote a whole akpah, did not do this. As an extension, it developed such a minig. It seems like I never heard of this. People heard of this? Not to pass a child. We all heard of, you don't sit on the table. You don't stand on the table. But but stronger than sitting and standing is this, you know, passing a child. You ever heard such a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I never heard that. Does this? And one thing always bothered. I don't know this. I don't know this. I didn't have a chance to look into this more. Is that if you know by Hasidish Tish, by the time of Simcha, they have a custom that you know, they have the big table that people, they dance on the table before the Rebbe. I don't know if you've ever seen this. This is a big thing. What? They do this. As I always wondered, it always bothered me. I always wondered, why is that mutter? Why is a Hasid? There is something about, there is something to this. Is that, yeah, I've seen this. Yeah, by Hasidim, they know, you know, the big tish, right? You know, big table, and there are bleachers and so on and so forth. But there are times when they entertain their Rebbe by dancing on the table. I've even seen this. You know, I've even seen this. I was very shocked. I've seen this in Lakewood. A video, a Purim. No, let me say Purim. They don't have a Hasidic Tish there in Purim, but in Lakewood, I've seen this. They have in Lakewood. They have on. They have clips online of a mesiba in Purim. They have a little mesiba in Lakewood in the big yeshiva. Probably like a few thousand people come in one of the Bata Midrashim. And towards the end of Purim, where basically they don't have any, and people, they have different rashivas, they speak, and they have in the center a humongous table. They have bleachers. It's like it's arranged like a Hasidic, but it's not a Hasidic dish. There's no, they have a whole big dais of a hundred of the Rosh Hashivas. And then they always show this like clown, guy like dressed up in some type of costume. He's standing, all he's dancing on the table.
He's drunk.
Yeah. No, he's not drunk. He's not drunk. And I've seen this also by Hasidim. Hasidim also they do this, but they don't have a whole dais of 100 Rosh Hashivas, they have just one Rebbe. So I don't know. Where do you draw the line? It seems from what I've read yesterday, it's a very big hakpad never to stand on a table, no matter what. And yet, I've heard this all. Someone told me a maisa with, okay, I can't go into details, but there definitely does exist such a custom where people in ancient times would entertain their rebbe by dancing on the table before them. And that seems to be in direct contradiction with the custom, the hakpada, never to stand or sit on a table. And there's a very beautiful remez. I love this remez. No, we have the pasuk, Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. The word Zeh Keli, Zayin Hei Keli, is Rosh Tevos, Zeh Hashulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. Zeh, Zayin, Hey, Zeh Hashulchan. Keli is Aleph, Asher, Lamed, Lifnei, Keli Yud is Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem. So it's a very beautiful remnant is that the sanctity lies in Zekei Lifnei Hashem. Okay. Now, the next thing is that this is a very strange, I don't have it here, there's a Rashi Yosh, and I wanted to show, the first I'll touch on another thing is that it used to be, I saw this by the Lubav, I saw this my own eyes. Lubavitcher Rebbe, the one who was the last Lubavitcher who was Nifter, it used to be a minhag that where did the Chevra Kadisha get the coffin? The person's dining room table. The dining room table serves as a person's coffin. Why? Because it is Eidos, it is his testimony that on this table he was Mekayim all various mitzvahs. He ate L'shem Shemayim, did Tzedakah, Gemilas Chasadim, Machnas Erech. That therefore the person, every time that he eats his meal, he should see in front of him, this is my coffin. This is my coffin. And it should be Mo'erehim that this will say Eidos on the Chesed and the Tzedakah that he does. This is a minute Kadmain. I mean, you have these stories with these Bali Musa that they would go Erev Yom Kippur, they would mamish go to the Chevra Kadisha and they would lie down in a coffin and go to sleep. And they should be margish what it feels like to die in order to do tshuva. But this is for the common man. The common man, the dining room table itself will be served. Who do they do this for? The Lubavitcher Rebbe, because I saw the coffin. And I was like, what kind of coffin is this? You know, we used to these pine boxes. It was like this colorful, it was like a reddish coffin. So someone told me, that's his desk. That was his desk.
His desk is still there.
What?
His desk.
It must have been another desk in the house. No, in his office. So someone told me that is, maybe that was his table.
He didn't die.
But that is a custom. Okay, let's now. And then as an extension of that custom, this is a Rashi. I don't have the Rashi here. It's supposed to be in this Pasukovi. It's a Rashi Yoshin. It's not everywhere. We have that. Then we have now our Tanakhs over here with the blue ones. They have the Rashi Yoshin. Okay, it's not in every printing, but you have to look up and you have a chance maybe we'll go home later on looking in Yirmiyah, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph. It's a Pasuk and Rashi there says something very, very strange. That there's a minhag, another minhag which we're not makbid on today, maybe you are makbid, is that when you cut your nails, be very careful not to leave your nails in a place where a woman who's pregnant would step over. Because what?
Shulabort.
What does that mean? We don't know what that means exactly. Kabbalistic Indians, okay, so you makbid, so if you can do, you're careful, you know, you don't throw around the nails, you have to, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to burn them. I don't think anyone today burns their nails. I haven't heard of this. I don't know. I've not been around that much, but maybe people burn them. But you're supposed to burn them. So then it's brought down. No, even burning is not good because the burning nails. Again, these are all like I told you. I warn you in advance. Don't hold me responsible for these things. Even burning is not so simple because if you burn part of your body, this can ruin your mazel. So you're not supposed to, even to burn, there's no solution. What are you going to do with the nails? To bury them? You can't. Because someone will dig them up.
Flush them down the toilet.
Okay, I told you. So what are you going to do? You're going to burn it? Yeah, that would be ideal. It would be ideal to burn. I guess that's a mitzvah. The Torah says to do so. So a mitzvah, shayim mitzvah, but it doesn't say anywhere there's a mitzvah to burn nails. So you're going to burn it. You can't go bury it because then that's sakana. Burning, you'll harm yourself. Ruin your mazel. So it says what you should do is you should burn it together with something else. What else? That way it won't cause you hawan. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says you shall take off a splinter. This is a pillow what it says in Rashi. So Rashi in Yirmiyah. Rashi brings this down in Rashi Yasha. I don't know if maybe Rashi didn't write this. Maybe he did. It's a whole question who wrote this. You shall peel off from your table. Now, you have to understand, we're dealing over here in ancient time, not like our... Don't try this at home, obviously. Your wife's not going to be very happy with you. Would take off a splinter from your dining room table. Not one splinter. Four splinters. From the four sides of the Mizbeach. Because the four sides of your table will serve as witnesses that you're a good person, and it will protect you when you come into this dangerous moment in time when your nails are being burnt.
What's going to protect you from your wife?
But over a lifetime, you won't have
those nails. Unbelievable. So you're supposed to take a splinter. And it seems like this was serious business. It seems like this is like before our time, this was serious custom. You take out a splinter from the table to burn it together with your nails. I just want to go show you how far this goes. The Mate Ephraim, which is a very well accepted Sefer Halacha. I mean, this is an old Sram and Minhagim and Halacha. I mean, this is serious business. This is like, you know, Shach and Taz stuff. This is serious business. He brings down the Sminuk and does this very Smafakfek on it. He doesn't like the Sminuk of taking splinters. And then he says something which over the top. He says, you should, if you want to burn, fine, burn. But don't take from the corner of your table. Why? Because your table is Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. It's a Mizbeach. It's and the Mizbeach, here, this is the Mate Ephraim. This is not the Chassidus Shel Rebbe. This is serious stuff. The Mizbeach has to be perfectly square. And if it's a pegima, we learned them sechta sukkah. They threw the esrogim, they killed the tztoki, and they were poigim the mizbech. Just like your tefillin must be perfect, the mizbech must be perfect. So by taking splinters out of your table, you know, it's like taking your tefillin and rounding the corners. You're ruining the shleimus of your table. The table represents the mizbech, and you have to have their chertz. For the Mizbeach, it has to be Shalim, it may not be Nifkam, and taking splinters, you're ruining the perfectly square and smooth edges, so you should not do it. But just Derech Akav, it goes to show how far this idea goes of appreciating that a table is Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. And this I heard years ago, and I mean, many people on that macro on this, if you go to a furniture store, all these beautiful tables. Today, in design, not many tables have four legs. They have two legs, three legs, 10 legs, all different types of. But there appears to be a very big, a strong hakpada that the table should have four legs, not three, not two, not more, not less, four. Because in addition to the table serving as a zecher for the mizbeach, every shulchan is also a zecher for the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, upon which the Lechem Aponim was placed. And that Shulchan had exactly four legs. And therefore, your Shulchan in your home should also have four legs. And some go, I remember when I warned you when I started, some go even so far to say that you shall arrange your Shulchan in your home, Mimizrach L'Mayrif. You can tell the interior decorator to leave. You'll decide how the table should be arranged. Take out a compass. It should be arranged Mimizrach L'Mayrif, just like it was arranged in the Beis HaMikdash. And you should sit on your table in a position where the menorah, the leichter, is just, that represents to a certain degree the menorah. So you should face the menorah, you should sit at your shulchan in your home as a zecher for what was in the Mishkan. The shulchan is B'tzofen, the menorah is b'dorom, and you should zel uma zed, they face one another, and you should face the menorah when you sit, and your shulchan should have four legs to be resembling the shulchan of the to resemble the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash. The marshal on Shabbos was makbid that he should have two tablecloths, one on top of the other, so that when they would clean the upper tablecloth, it's supposed to show how far this goes, to clean the upper tablecloth, that no moment in time should a shulchan be without a tablecloth. So they would... Mishnah brings it down?
Yeah.
So even the Mishnah brings it down. So it's a fascinating... These are fascinating things to see how far it goes, the kedusha of the table. Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. Zeh Keli. Davasha the Kedusha, it's made upon us, it's a witness to our Maisim Toivim Chasadim as Kedusha. Ancient times it was used as a coffin, and it resembles, on the one hand it resembles the Mizbeach, on the other hand it resembles the Shulchan, Davasha the Kedusha, and we should have at least a little sensitivity, even though we're not makbid on these things, we don't pay much attention to these things, but we should at least have some ideas, sensitivity to this matter. We'll stop here. Take a little break.